Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Time now for the watch list, our look at the latest film and TV releases for the week ahead. And we're joined today by freelance entertainment journalist Brian Lloyd and entertainment journalist and broadcaster Serena Bellissimo. Welcome, guys.
Thanks.
Serena, will we start with Timothée Chalamet as Bob Dylan in A Complete Unknown? That's in cinemas now. Big hype. Any good?
Yeah, no, like, I'm probably the wrong person to talk about this. Brian Lloyd, probably. You're a huge Bob Dylan
no,
fan,
no,
I'd
no,
say.
No, oh, okay. No, more Joan Baez.
He feels like he should be, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
What's that supposed to mean? No, I appreciate him, but like,
kind of, you're kind of laid back and unknowable, like Dylan, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, appreciate that.
That's... Well, see, this is the thing. I'm not a massive fan, and like, the title is A Complete Unknown. I feel like I came out, and I know he's an enigma anyway, and we don't know much about him. You didn't really find out much more about him in this. I like what they've done. Instead of giving us like a 4-hour film about his entire life, they've chosen 5 years of his life when he first started off, and you get to see what happened in that 5-year period. Do we know a lot more about him? No. Could I have Wikipedia'd maybe what happened in his 5 years? Yes. Why am I watching? Because the performances are mesmerizing. And I have to say, I'm not a massive Timothée Chalamet fan, but I think he was brilliant as Bob Dylan. And people aren't talking about Edward Norton. And I thought he was fantastic.
He's Pete Seeger.
He plays Pete Seeger. Yeah. Monica Barbaro plays Joan Baez.
She's great too.
And this is the frustration I had with it. As I was watching it, I would have loved to have seen a film about the relationship between Bob Dylan and Joan Baez. Mm. Because obviously the two of them were so defined by their work. Like, you think of Joan Baez, her most notable song is obviously Diamonds and Rust. That was about their relationship. Bob Dylan wrote loads of songs for her as well. Yeah, it's only kind of one factor in it. And then they tried to shoehorn in stuff about, like, you know, the purity of the folk scene.
So this is about, it's Dylan going electric, that famous
correct.
Incident.
Yeah. And literally, like, the film... Correct, yeah. The film literally culminates at the Newport Folk Festival when he came out and did his three songs, and two of them were on electric and all the rest of it. So, like, Edward Norton plays Pete Seeger, Scoot McNairy plays the great Woody Guthrie. It's enjoyable, but it's very formulaic. Like, I mean, it's directed by James Mangold. He previously did Walk the Line, which was Johnny Cash. It was good. I mean, it's good, but for somebody like Bob Dylan, who was so kind of known for his transformations, who was so known for not being kind of pigeonholed and wanted to be different and was this musicologist and took from everybody, you'd imagine the film that was going to kind of chronicle his early life would be a bit more...
Could have been a bit more interesting.
Yeah, a bit more experimental.
Okay. Fair enough. And there have been experimental films.
I'm not there, obviously, being the one,
Okay, A Complete Unknown in cinemas now. Serena, Cameron Diaz has come out of retirement for Back in Action. It's on Netflix now. Was this worth coming out of retirement for?
Do you know what? This is a bit of a popcorn, leave your brain at the door type film.
It's,
if you're a fan of Cameron Diaz and Jamie Foxx, the last time you would have seen them on screen was 2014 in Annie. I love seeing them back together in this. Basically, they play retired spies who... After a few years, their identity has been compromised, so they have to go out and save not only themselves but now their kids and reunite with a mum that she doesn't like, who's played brilliantly by Glenn Close. Our very own Andrew Scott is in this, and I really enjoyed watching him.
Okay.
It comes in at under 2 hours. Is it the best action film you're ever going to see? No, but if you do want something where you just check your brain in at the door and just enjoy, this is something I'd probably enjoy watching on a Sunday morning if it's raining and you just want to put something on.
Sunday morning, you'd watch a film. That's decadence, isn't it? Actually, the TV series, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which is on, where is it on?
Amazon Prime. Amazon. That's really good.
It's fabulous. Brilliant. If you're looking for something like that, it's really good.
Sunday morning.
Brian Wolfman, stop killing me. Brian Wolfman is out now in cinemas. Yeah. Is this literally what it says?
Yeah, pretty much what it says. But don't let that, I mean, yes, there is a simplicity to it. I mean, the film is only like 100 minutes. It's long, but it's very, very smart. It kind of does what Nosferatu did in that it basically takes like a well-worn horror character but then brings a metaphor to it. And where Nosferatu was a sort of metaphor for being, you know, an abusive ex and all the rest of it, Wolfman is basically about the idea of if you've grown up in an emotionally abusive environment and then you become a parent, are you going to transfer that to your kid?
Okay, right.
So there's a lot of kind of meaty stuff in it, but then obviously it has a lot of body horror kind of stuff going on, and it's very much influenced by David Cronenberg. Cronenberg's The Fly, if you recall that one with Jeff Goldblum. Very gross. So it's 16, so don't go in expecting Serena's just shaking her head, not even anywhere near it. No, it's pretty rough, but okay. Enjoyable though.
All right, worth man in cinemas now. Bit of TV then. Serena, Video Nasty on Virgin. I hadn't heard of this, so this is an Irish kind of 80s nostalgia show.
And I love this because it's great to see local productions actually being really good and money being invested in our local local scene. Basically, it's set in 1985. There's three teenagers. They have 71 of 72 VHS tapes that are on the banned list, the Video Nasty list. They need to go and get that 72nd VHS. That is in the UK. They fly over to the UK, but once they get there, it's not so straightforward. They become embroiled in this murder investigation. They become chief suspects themselves. This is a bit of fun. If you watch the first episode, it's Monday night, Virgin Media 1 at 9 o'clock. You're going to go, okay, this is all right. It's not too bad. It's easygoing. As the series goes on, it becomes a bit gorier and a bit more suspenseful. But it's worth a watch. And, if you're into your nostalgia, you'll love this. But also, if you're young, you'll love this too, because it's made up of three teenagers.
Okay, Video Nasty, and that's at Virgin Media 1, Monday at 9 o'clock, and on the Virgin Media Player as well. Brian, The Crow Girl on Paramount Plus. So this is a Scandi-Noir story originally, translated to the UK.
Yeah, that's right, it stars Dougray Scott, Eve Miles and Catherine Kelly. It was originally a novel by Eric Axel Sund. It's now set in the UK. I suppose it is pretty much kind of standard Scandi-Noir fare. I would say that couple of interesting points about it. Slash from Guns N' Roses is one of the producers on it. He was a massive fan of the book and got involved with it, and actually I think he wrote some music for it
Slash
as well.
Slash read a book.
Slash read Saul Hudson. Saul Hudson, to give him his legal name.
Yeah. His real name.
Yeah, Saul Hudson,
He'll always be Slash.
No, he's always, Slash Hudson, anyway. But he apparently helped to kind of get this developed and all the rest of it. It's different in the sense of the targets of these gruesome murders are actually young boys. And you think of we're talking about David Lynch, Twin Peaks and stuff like that. It's a young girl. We always kind of see young women being brutalized and stuff like that. But what's different about this is that it's actually, it's young boys, and that makes it a lot different. It makes it kind of turns it on its head a little bit.
Worth
to watch if you're kind of into the kind of whole noir true crime kind of stuff. But it's fairly standard, but it's enjoyable.
The Crow Girl on Paramount Plus. Actually, you while you mentioned David Lynch there, Serena, I suppose we should mark the sad death of David Lynch. Brought kind of surrealism into mainstream cinema, but also he started the era of television being interesting, did he?
He was incredible. Yeah. You mentioned Twin Peaks there. And for me as an Australian, when I really garnered interest in David Lynch was Mulholland Drive, because he plucked Naomi Watts, who was massive in Australia, but wasn't massive anywhere else, and brought her to stardom. And I loved the tributes that came out. They were really genuine. Mm. You know how sometimes when someone dies, they're not genuine? All the tributes to him were genuine. And I love what
McLaughlin's one was.
Oh, yeah. But did you see, she turned around and said, how did he even see me when I couldn't see myself?
Yeah,
he was. Wow. He was incredible. Loved David.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, you were saying Twin Peaks. I mean, you have to remember, he was coming off the back of, Wild at Heart. He had done Elephant Man. He was an auteur director, he was on the way up. And when he made Twin Peaks, this was in the time of Dynasty, Falcon Crest, Dallas.
Yeah.
And he was okay, I'm going to make one of those, but I'm going to make it completely weird. I'm going to infuse it with surrealism, transcendental meditation, conversations about, there was a trans character, David Duchovny's character was trans, Denise. In 1991, that's mental.
Brilliant.
So not a huge body of work in a way, and didn't make a lot in recent years, but a huge impact.
No, but everything he made, people talked about. He made seven films, but my God, those seven films.
Okay, we'll move it on.
Yeah, sorry.
I'd be here all day. Speaking of surrealism, so look, briefly, Brian, Severance on Apple TV. We've talked about it already here in the last few weeks, but the first episode is out of the second season. Slightly disappointing.
Oh, no.
No?
Okay. Oh, no, not all at all. Great. God, no. No, no, no. I mean, I've seen...
Okay, reframe it for me.
Okay, yeah. I would say you have to, and this is probably not what Apple TV wants, but you need to kind of see the whole picture. You need to see all episodes in one go, because it does that thing of it ends on a cliffhanger. Not all the pieces are going to make sense until you see the full picture. An old TV show I would compare it to, if you can recall, The Prisoner with Patrick McGoohan, where completely nuts, but if you took it in one episode and looked at it, it wouldn't make any sense. You wouldn't have a clue of it. Yet if you see it in the broader context...
Okay, so stick with it.
Stick with it. It's brilliant.
Okay. Serena, do we need a 6-part documentary about Love Island's Molly May?
I thought this would be right up your street, that you'd love this one.
I feel, is it not just a publicity stunt? I'm buying into that conspiracy theory.
No, do you know what?
The breakup and everything. We're being played here.
Do you think?
I don't know.
See, I'm not a massive Molly May.
I don't trust these people.
Well, I'm not a massive Molly May fan, but I have to say, I watched this and I really enjoyed it. Molly May, behind it all, 3 episodes have dropped on Prime Video now. The next 3 will drop in the spring. They're 30 minutes long. This was supposed to be about the lead up to her and Tommy's wedding. When that all fell apart, it became about how she's reacting to it. And it's really interesting what you see. They're not shying away from anything.
Really, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fairly authentic.
If you're
yeah.
a fan, I think you're going to enjoy this. If okay. you're not, stay away.
Okay. Molly May, Behind It All on Prime Video, out now. Okay. That's all we have time for today. Thank you very much, Brian Lloyd and Serena Bellissimo. And you can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RT Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.